בוקר טוב. Today's daf is daf Pei Gimel in Bava Metzia, as we learn for Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael and Nesuim Ratzar V'Shivya. We'll pick it up from Hahu Gavra. Oh, it's about 10 lines into the wide lines on Pei Gimel V'Alef, almost halfway down the page. Hahu Gavra Devekim Aver Chavita Dechamra Aristikim, because a man was carrying a barrel, a jug of wine in the plaza of Mechuzah, in the town square, the Tavra, and he broke it, Bezizah Mechuzah. There was a projection, like a pole sticking out from the walls, and he broke it on that. Also, coming, it came before Rav, but to determine whose responsibility is it. Amar Le, Ristaka the Mechuzah, Shchichi Ba'inshi. At that place, that market, or the plaza, the town plaza of Mechuzah, there's a lot of people there. Zilai Siraya, go bring a proof that that's how it broke, that it wasn't your fault. And then you'll be putter. This goes in line with what Isi Ben Yehuda said yesterday, that a person simply cannot swear that he wasn't negligent. You have to, if it's a place where there are people there, and you can bring witnesses, so bring witnesses. Amar Rav Yosef Reis, Rav Yosef, Rava's son, they brought this question to Rava's. Rav Yosef, his son, said to him, come on, are you going like, who does this go like Isi? Isi, that's Isi Ben Yehuda quoted at the third line on the top of this page that says that he said that the that's fine. He's a shvur if there's no witnesses, but if there's witnesses, you have to bring witnesses. I'm going like Isi, but Spielon Kavasa, we hold like him. Another story with a man who, again, was a messenger for somebody else, and something happened, like you took somebody's barrel, you did something for somebody, and it broke, and now there's a question as to responsibility. So a man, told somebody else, a man told the Shliach, Reuben told Shimon, Zilzavali Avra Me'adani Chamra. Go buy for me 400 jugs of wine. Also, Zavinla, he bought the barrels. Lesov, Asla Kameh, then the Shliach, Shimon, came through and I'm late. Zvino Chavarveh Adani Chamra, I bought 400 barrels of jugs of wine, the Tekifalu, and they all went sour. They all became vinegary like. Askamra came for Rabba, Armelay, Avarveh Adani Chamra, Tekife, if 400 barrels of wine went bad, Kolislu, people would hear about it. People would know when it happened. So people know it. It's a, did you hear? 400 barrels of wine went bad at this guy's house. Till I see Raya, go bring a proof to me. Kara, that originally, when you bought them, it was good wine. The iftar, and you become part. In other words, you can't simply say that they went bad, they were bad when you bought them. People know that when somebody 400 barrels of wine went bad in the town, people would hear about it. They would know when it took place and whose possession it was, when it took place. Go bring proof that when you bought them, they were still good. There was no nobody had heard yet about bad wine, and then you'll be putter. It wasn't your fault. I'm Rabbi Yosef Bray. So again, Rabbi Yosef, Rava's son, said to him, "Come on, Kisi, is this go also like Isi?" I'm Rabbi Kisi. I mean, he already told him in the previous story that I hold like Isi, but maybe it took place at two different times. Are you going like Isi? Yes, I go like Isi with Cyril and Kavosei. Interesting that the same story is a different story, but in each case, Rabbi Paskin this way, go bring proof. And in each case, his son said, are you going like Isi? Now, didn't he know from the first story that he went like Isi? Maybe he changed his mind, so you have to always check again. In other words, you can't assume that the psak was, when you hear a psak then, you can't extrapolate from there and say, well, I heard what the rabbi said in this case, so I'll extrapolate it to another case. In both cases, he said, is this in line with Isi's reasoning? And he said, yes, it's in line with Isi's reasoning, and I hold like him. Ask him, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, B'sichra. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef made a decree, a reform in Sichra. And he said, Hanu, the Dora Ba'agra, interesting thing. People who carry Ba'agra, people who carry schleppers, porters, who carry things, Ba'agra. Agra, Rashi explains, is a kind of a pole that's bent in the middle, and a person can carry it like around his neck on two shoulders, but it's really... If he carried, like, say, you know, on each side of the pole, he carried, let's say, some baggage, and it broke. They should pay half. Why? My time. It's too much for one to carry. It's made for one person to carry, but you shouldn't overload it. In other words, two people wouldn't use that kind of a pole. There are poles, as we'll see, that's made for two people, right? That carry, that's the sign of the tourist industry here, you know, where the two people are carrying the gigantic grapes. in a case like this, it's bent in the middle. It's made really for one person, but he overloaded it a little bit. But it's really not made for two. So carve the onus for carve she. It's sort of between an accident and negligent. He's partially negligent, and the other end is partially an accident because it's really made for one person. So if it broke, he should pay half. Interesting thing. That was a decree that he made. Is it pshia? Is it negligence? And you're, even a shomachinim is responsible. It's not Geneva Aveda. Is it an accident? Well, not quite an accident. It's in between. Many things like that, we don't know. Was it negligence or was it an accident, right? Something breaks in your house. Was it negligence or was it an accident? So here he says, because of that, you pay only half. The messenger, the schlepper, the porter pays half. Another story, Hanushikloi, Chavisa, the Chamra. I'm sorry. I skipped a few words. My time enough was at the trade. Kalvanas called Shia. Bedigla, bedigla. Now bedigla is a pole, is a pole that's made for two people, right? Rashi says it's a big pole like a wood that's split in the middle, that's or split at the top, and you could tie things at both ends. And a man could try to carry it up on his shoulders, but it's made for two people. So therefore, if one person tried to pick up something which is really for two people, and it has the weight that two people would carry, Masham Kul, he has to pay the whole amount because that's certainly negligence. He shouldn't have done it on his own. Okay, so it depends. Again, this is an interesting thing that you tried to pick up too much and you shouldn't have. It's made for two people, and you didn't. That's considered negligence, that it's too much. Whereas in the first case, it's a pole that's bent in the middle and it's made for one person, but you picked it, carry too much. Can't determine whether it's a total, it's not total negligence and it's to not totally an accident, so you pay half. Rabba Bar Hanan, he's the son of Bar Hanan. Tavalei, some porters had broken Chavisa b'chamra. They broke his barrels of wine. He was upset about that. Now they were the Tavalei. It wasn't a place that was Rashi's. It wasn't a place that was sloped, and they were negligent. And he broke it. They broke his wine. He told he hired these porters to carry the wine from one place to another, and they broke it. Shakalagumai, he took their shirts. He took their shirts. He said, "Listen, you broke it. You pay. You broke it. You pay for it, right?" He took their shirts. Asu, they came. Amalei, they told Rav. They told Rav, "Look, he took our shirts." Amalei, Havalagumai, he told Rav Bar Hanan, "Go give him back their shirts." Amalei said, "Dina Hachi, that's the din. They're negligent. These guys, I hired them by the job. They broke the barrels. They owe me whatever they could take. They don't have any money. I took their shirts. Is that the din?" Amalei and Laman Telech B'derech Tov. It's not really the din. Rashi says the pasuk initially says so that you should walk in the path of the good people, and Rashi says Lifnim Mishuras HaDin. It doesn't mean that that's really the halacha in court that a judge would say, yeah, they have to pay for it. They're negligent. They have to pay for it. Collect it from them. If all they have is shirts, take the shirt off their back. But he says, you know what? Lifnim din, they're poor people, and treat them nicely. Even though you're magialacha their shirt, give it back to them anyway because you should go lifnim mishuras din. Gave them their shirts. Amrullah, they said, Anianan, we're poor. Kulyama, we schlep the whole day. We toil the whole day schlepping these things. They admitted they were negligent, but they still toiled. They pick up feet and we're hungry. Bless me, we have nothing to eat. We're poor. Amalei, so Rav said, still have a guy, go pay them their wages too. Not only do you give them back their shirts, but even give them their wages. Amalei, so Rav Bar Hanan said to Rav, Dinahachi, is that the din? Amalei, and Baruchos Sadikim Tishmor, you should, the paths of the righteous, you should keep. In other words, Lifnim Sadin. You really don't owe it to them, but they're poor, and do something nice. This is how the parak ends. That ends off the parak. We'll return to you if you hire craftsmen, artisans. Now we start ourselves upon you hire regular workers. Hire workers to work for you. These are not jobbers that you hire to do a particular job, like a dry cleaners or a shoemaker or somebody, carpenter or an artist, whatever you did, right? That here you're talking about hiring workers. So because upon Bamalami said, listen, Hashmanava, listen, the normal work day is dawn to dusk, right? So I want you to come early, come even earlier than normal, and work late. I want you to come early in the morning before it gets light. That's it before first light. And I want you to work late. If the minhag in the place, the custom was not to do that. They worked only from dawn to dusk, not before. And he can't force them. Now he can't force them. The idea here is that he hired them and he told them to come in early and late, but that wasn't really part of the conditions. Meaning, if you hire somebody and say, these are the rules, sign here, you're going to work here from 4 in the morning till 12 at night, and this is your wages, and these are all the conditions that you're going to have. Or like in modern countries where there's rules about what you can do, how many vacation days they get, et cetera, those are minimums. So then it's different. But over here, he hired them. And after he hired them, he said, listen, I want you to come in early and stay late. If the minhag is that they don't do that, he can't force them. Welcome to Agulhas. And if the minhag is that they give lunch, yes, you got to feed them. Let's up them to get to give them a sweets, give them, let's say, a lunch, a break in the middle of the day, whatever, give them some sweets. Yisapik, all depends on the minhag, all depends on the custom. Meaning, unless you 100% agreed on the conditions, you can agree to whatever you want. Anybody could agree with the one. But if he wasn't conditional when they hired them, he can't tell them, oh, do this and do that. You just hired them stam. If the minhag is that you have to give them a half an hour for lunch, you give them a half an hour for lunch. When is he give them lunch? You give them lunch. Now he tells a story that we had back on Memphis. Ma'aser Rabbi Yochanan ben Nasi was a story. Sharma Levinoi told his son, says, follow Paul, go hire workers for us. Halach, who passed him zonos. I guess he had fields or whatever. He said, go hire them worker. And he hired them. And he told them, when you're hired, you're going to get food also. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Nasi's son came back and told them, he says, listen, I hired them and I promised them lunch. Even if you give them as much as Shlomo's Suda when he was king, Rashi points out there was a time when he was a king and a time when he became a commoner. Remember, he went back and forth. Even if you give him the meal that Shlomo had, he had a big feast there. Lo yotzei chavasa, you're not yotzei imon because you promised them food. Well, how much food? Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because these Jewish workers are the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And Rashi says, and the Suda of Avram was greater than that of Shlomo. So what are you going to give them? What do you promise them, lunch? Well, what kind of a lunch? You're not going to be yotzei because lunch, they're Jewish kids. They're entitled to an endless feast. Elashe, so before they start working, say, I'm going to go tell them, Amanashe, go tell them specifically that you're going to work here and I'm only going to give you pasta kidney. It's only bread. And beans or whatever kidney is, legumes, right? Tom that that's what he told them. Before they start working, they should do that. They didn't have to tell him anything. I call Kaminiga Medina. So it's not clear actually. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you don't have to specify lunch, just say everything is according to the custom. Yes, but he told them maybe Rabbi Shimon, I'm not sure if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant. Since he promised them lunch, lunch is whatever the minhag medin is. He didn't have to go tell them anything. It's mashma. He didn't have to go back, not tell them originally, but even Rav Shmuel says, wasn't necessary for him to go back and say, listen, I'm only going to give you bread and legumes because lunch is whatever lunch is normal. You don't, Rav Shmuel Manasseh, Rav Yochanan ben Nasi went too far to say, well, you promised them lunch. They're Jewish. They're Avram's children. You should give them a great lunch. Rav Shmuel says, no, you go to according to minhag medina unless it was otherwise specified. Now Rashi points out here in the last line, he said, before they start working, go tell them I'm not giving you a big lunch, I'm only giving you bread, simple like a bread and water. And he says, the Ein Kan, if before they start working, what they didn't really start working yet, so they didn't the contract starts didn't start. Well, it's only words, but dvarim, and words alone do not involve a breach of faith. That's what he says. He just said words. Words don't involve these phrase. So here, the Bach, if you look in the base there, in the Bach says near Banitema. Perikosov that memtes reward the Ashbid Bar Mishumana there is. And if you look back at Memtes, it's really a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi. Rav says, yes, that words don't mean anything. Unless he had a contract, he just said something. Words do not involve a breach of faith. You can go back on your word. It's not a big deal. Rabbi Yochanan says it does. So then they bring down this whole story. The Gemara in Mem Testament all brings down this whole story. And this story, Mashma, that what? That how can you say, the Gemara says, you're going to have a time. And he brings the story and he says, Amisha Par, Rabbi Yochanan says that that words do involve a breach of faith. And what about these other things? These other questions, like okay, it means that you shouldn't say one thing when you mean something else. But just saying words and then going back on it doesn't really present a problem. So the Gemara says, what about over here? What about if you say how could he say go change your mind? If the kid promised him a big lunch, how could you change your mind? You said the words. The words, changing your words involves a breach of faith. So the Gemara says, no, it's different over there. In our case, the story that we just said, because the workers themselves know that they couldn't rely on the kid's word, the son's word, that I'll give you, you know, whatever lunch you want. They knew they didn't rely on. In other words, you have to look at the circumstances. The circumstances were such, like, obviously, if he exaggerated or if he didn't have the power to do something. The kid came in and said, my father wants to give you $1 million. You don't really rely on that, you know, because they didn't rely on the words of the father. But it's mashma, the psak is that, yes, you know, we go like Rabbi Yochanan, varim yesh bem mishum chusrei amana. That if you go back in your words, that's considered a breach of faith.
A verbal contract
is valid if it's meant in good faith. In other words, if it's obvious, if they both understood it, that's the rule. So here he says, go back on your word. Shmuel says, yeah, you didn't have to. It was the minute within anyway. He didn't really promise him that, right? He didn't really promise him a big meal. He just said, we'll give you lunch, right? So if he told him, I'm going to give you steak and mashed potatoes, and then he gives him bread. So if he said something specifically, that would be a breach of faith because he said something specific. Here, he said, I'm going to give you lunch. So his father said, lunch? Lunch could be like Avraham Avinu's lunch. And I'm sure Muliel says, he didn't even have to say anything because he said lunch. Lunch could be something. But Rabbi Yochum ben Masya, here he says, my servant, Rabbi Yochum ben Masya. Is that what his name? That's what he was called back on Memtes. My servant, Rabbi Yochum, it was Rabbi Yochum ben Masya. And he told his son that. And he said, listen, maybe you might lift him Mishur Sadin. He says, really, technically, you didn't really promise anything. You just promised lunch, but I'd rather be specific. I don't want to get into trouble. But Rashi pointed out that well, that's only maybe over here because he didn't really, maybe he wasn't specific because he just said, I'm going to give you lunch or because they didn't expect anything more than that. Because, you know, workers who come to work in the field, they're not expecting a big feast like Avraham Avinu's. Maybe therefore it's different over there. But normally, a breach of faith, the words do involve a breach of faith. So Zimar Pshita, he hired him to work. And then he says, listen, I want you to come in early and stay late. And that wasn't part of the conditions. Pshita, you know, isn't it obvious that he can't force them? That's not the normal, that's not the custom of the place. So Pshita, isn't it obvious? Let's read him. Tafel Gra, he said, he paid him a little bit more. He didn't give him minimum wage. I think he could tell them. Amrli could say, listen, the reason I gave you more money, the reason I gave you more money was with the condition, with the understanding, let's say, the understanding that you're going to come in early and stay late. Badoy, you're going to work with me, you're going to come in early and stay late for my work. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no. Da'amrullah, they could tell him, they could retort. Hi, the Tafasan, the reason you gave us more money, we understood it. We're going to give you good work. We're going to work very hard. The fact that you gave us an extra money, in other words, it wasn't clear. It's always the idea is you weren't clear, you weren't specific. He hired them, and he gave him a little bit extra over and above minimum wage. Then he said, by the way, I want you to come in early and stay late. That wasn't the condition. He didn't say that. He said, I thought you understood. The reason I'm giving you more money is you should come in early and stay late. They said, no, we thought you were giving us more money because you want us to work harder and do better work. So again, it wasn't specific. But had he been specific, and he said, listen, you're working from 3 in the morning until 12 at night. Okay, that was the condition that they said. Omer Shlokesh. Poel b'chnisaso ishalo. B'chnisaso means not when he comes to work, but when he goes home, when he enters the city, when he comes home from the work. These workers presumably were out in the fields and they came home to work to sleep at home in the city. When they come in, b'chnisaso mishalo. What does that mean? B'yitzioso mishal balavais. Meaning when he comes home, he's coming in on his own time. Meaning he works till dark. The normal work day was dawn to dusk. So he says, you know what? When he comes home, he's on his own, meaning he has to work till dark, and he goes home in the darkness on his own. Be it see also, Yishol Baal Bayis. But when he leaves to go to work in the morning, right, he doesn't have to leave while it's still dark. He leaves when it's dawn, even though the normal work day was dawn to dusk, but he doesn't have to leave his house until dawn. Shinamah, the Pasuk says, Tizrach Hashem Shefen is talking about animals, the Pasuk until him, Tizrach Hashem Shefen, when the sun rises The animals will gather up. They'll go lie in their own abode. The animals creep around at night. And then in the morning, when the sun comes out, they go home to sleep. At that point, Yetzer Olafalo, a man goes out to work. When sun rises, that's when he leaves to work. He doesn't have to leave early in the morning while it's still dark to start to punch the clock at dawn. But he goes, that's when he leaves his house. Yetzer Olafalo, they are up until the evening. Till the evening, that he works till the evening and he goes home in the dark. Says, well, that's why kind of a question is this? This is he's supposed to, he leaves the house at dawn and he has to work until dusk and then go home. Why don't you say, what is the minig? We just said that all the terms of employment go according to the custom of the place. It's a new city. There's no custom yet. So see where the workers came from. They gathered them from many places. They started a new city like Modi'in. They brought a lot of people from different places and moved into the city, and therefore there were different customs. So you didn't know which one to apply. So he said, so therefore, what are we applying? We're applying the verse and the pasuk. The verse says that, a worker goes out at dawn and he works until dusk. Well, when do you rely on that? Rely on that if there is no custom or there's different customs. Or he told them, they greased look for the raisa. Yes, they had a custom, but I'm hiring you according to the words of the pasuk. It's really the pasuk and Tillim, but according to the words of the Torah, and the words of the Torah say you leave your house at dawn and you work until dusk. Darsh Rav Zeira of Amrila Tanu Rav Yosef. Either Rav Zeira darshan it, he expounded himself, or some say that it was a brayso of Rav Yosef brought that might have said. Pasuk says Tashas Choshech v'Yilayla. You made darkness, and that became nighttime. Both Sirmas Kol Chasayar. There creep all the animals of the forest. Tashas Choshech v'Yilayla. Darshan like this. Tashas v'Yilayla. Say Shadoma. You made darkness, that's this world, which is like a nighttime compared to the next world. Both Sirmas Kol Chasayar, all the animals there creep. Elu Rishom Shabo. These are the evildoers, Shadom Shabiar, that are comparable to wild animals in the forest. Well, when the sun rises, they will be gathered up, and they will lie down in their abode. Tizach means the darkness refers to this world. The sun rises refers to the next world. The sun will rise for the tzaddikim. Yasafun Rishon, whereas the tzaddikim will, the sun will rise for the tzaddikim in Olam Haba, and the Rishon will be gathered into Gehenna where they stay for like 12 months. And they will lie there in their boat. Back goes to the tzaddikim, the Yasafun refers to the Rishon will be gathered into Gehenna. And they will sleep in their abode. That every tzaddik will have a proper abode according to his honor in the next world. A man goes out to his work. The tzaddikim will go to receive their reward. And for the work that he did, mean until the evening, for somebody who completed his work. Until the evening. And Rashi says that means until death, meaning he continues to serve God faithfully until his death, he will be rewarded in the next world. The tzaddikim will get their share, those who completed their work until they died. In other words, who served God properly. Elazar of Shimon, now let's start with Elazar of Shimon. Elazar of Shimon, of course, Rav Shimon was Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and Rav Elazar was his famous son. Now we're going to see stories about Rav Elazar, his son. He found a Jewish officer, the he was an officer, let's say, call him a bailiff of the court, who went around grabbing ganavim and turning them over to the government. How can you, he said to Reb Lazar, found this officer, and he said, how do you know who the bad guys are? Aren't the Rishon compared to like animals, that's why the story is brought down here, because we just had that pasuk of in the evening, in the nighttime, the animals creep around. So how do you find these ganavim? Aren't these bad guys compared to like animals? They creep around at night. You can have some say, he quoted this pasuk, Yera, but Mr. he will lie in wait in hiding in a high place, ka'ari basuka, like a lion in his den. In other words, how do you find these guys? Maybe you're getting, maybe you're grabbing the wrong people. Probably had a quota of how many bad guys they had to turn in. Maybe you're grabbing the tzaddikim v'shavim. Maybe you're leaving the rasham outside and you're arresting the good people, the righteous people. Amalei my other, what should I do? Harmona de Malkahu. It was the king's edict that I had to do this job. I had to go around turning in the people. Amalei, so Rav Blazer Shimon told him, Tog, Marcha, I'll teach you how you can discern who's evil and who's not. Hechetav, what you do? Ol ba'ar b'shoy l'chanusa. Go at the fourth hour of the day into the tavern. Go there in the morning, in the fourth hour. If you see people, a person drinking wine, he's holding the cup in his hand. He's dozing off as he's having a nice drink in the tavern. Shalala, find out about him. If he's a rabbi, he's a student. And he's dozing off. I know why he's tired. He got up to go to the daf in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he's tired, and he's dozing off. Like 10 in the morning, he's dozing off already on that cup of wine. Maybe that's why. So if he's a Talmid Chacham, he's dozing off because he got up early to learn. If he is a worker, so Kadam Kavanos, he got up to do work early. The workers are out early in the morning while it's still cool. Kadam Kavanos, and that's why he's tired. If he works at night, it's very possible that he works at night. He's what they call rolling metal thread. What does that mean? That they weren't allowed to work at night because of the noise that they generated, right? You couldn't have, this world's about that too, that you can't do heavy duty work, banging and stuff like that in the evening hours. When you could do shiputzim and stuff like that, you have to work during the day hours. But at night, there is work that can be done, like tailoring and things like that. And he says this was a common thing that they used to make metal threads that involved work that was very quiet. So maybe he's a night worker and therefore he's tired in the morning, right? We do that. The Elo, if he's none of the above, he wasn't a student and he wasn't an early day worker nor a night worker. And not Ganvo, then he's a Ganav. And the reason why he is tired and dozing off at 10 in the morning is because he was busy at night robbing homes. So if he wasn't working at night and he wasn't working early in the morning and he wasn't Talmid Chacham, he's the guy you should grab. Ishtama Milsa, this was a good advice. And this hurt Bemalka. The king heard about this good advice that Reb Elazar ben Shimon gave to this Jewish officer. Amr, he said the famous line, crying to the grass of the one who reads the letter, Iulavi Parvanka. He should be the messenger. The one who reads the letter. In other words, you ever go to a shul meeting and you have a suggestion? Great idea. You're on the committee. That's what he told, that's what, right? That's what they say. Oh, you read the letter, it's your advice. Good. You'll be the messenger. You carry it out. You have good ideas. So Asula Reb Elazar ben Shimon. So they brought Reb Elazar ben Shimon. They now appointed him to be this police officer, this bailiff, and went around grabbing the ganavim, the katafas ganavim. He was grabbing the ganavim. He knew how to get them. Ozel, and he went on doing that. Shalach Reb Shimon Karcha. Right, Shimon Karcha. Ben Karcha was Reb Akiva. Karcha was Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva's son said to him, Chometz ben Yayin, vinegar, the son of wine. In other words, your father, and you are vinegar. This is what you're doing. You're doing police work, grabbing people and giving them over to the king. And by the way, the king, they didn't give him off, 30 days fine or monetary fine. They killed him. You find a gun if they killed him. Adlas, you're giving over God's people, Jewish people. You're turning them in for execution. Shalachle. So Blazer B'Shimon answered, Kotzimani Machala. I am weeding out the thorns when I came from the vineyard. I'm getting rid of the bad people. Shalachle. So B'Shimon Karcha said to him, let the owner of the vineyard come and let him weed out the thorns, meaning let Rabbi Shalom come and take it. You shouldn't be the one taking people, turning them in for execution. Yomachad. So that was the story that he had. Doesn't Yomachad one day, talk about hookah, there was a cleaner who came and ran into Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Kareh Chometz Ben Yayin. And he had heard that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon had been called that word, Chometz, the son of wine, vinegar, the son of wine, because his father was wine and he was like a vinegar because he was doing bad things. And this fuller, this cleaner also called him by that name. It's one thing when Rabbi Shimon Karcha called him that name, but here this simple person, this commoner called him that. Omar, Rabbi Shimon said, since this man has so much chutzpah, such arrogance, Shmami no Rashi, I say he's also Russia. Amalahu, and he told the posse with him, Tafsu, grab him, grab this guy too, grab this Jewish man. He's a crook also. Tafsu, and they grabbed him and they put him on death row. The Basar the Nachtaita, after Basar Shimon, after he was he settled down, he calmed down, and he got upset. He called me a name. He says, grab him. He's a Russia. After he calmed down, Basrei, he went after him, Lefruke, to redeem him. Wanted to get him out of jail because he felt, I acted just on the spur of the moment. I got angry, but I really don't want to have him killed. So he went to get him out of Lamotzi, and he wasn't able to get him out of jail. They were in Koryale. So he read, so Blazer Shimon said about that man that he turned in, Shomer Piv v'Lashona, the man who guards his mouth and his tongue, Shomer Mitzaras Nafsho. He keeps his soul from suffering. Meaning, if he wouldn't have opened up his mouth and called me a name, this wouldn't have happened to him. Like, he felt bad about it himself, but he said, but this man, had some heart in bringing this upon himself if he wouldn't have opened up his mouth.
He shouldn't, he got.
I don't
Said,
yeah
take him already.
yeah but Rashi doesn't say Rashi is Korele ala Kovis. He's talking about the Kovis. He wasn't talking about himself. He was upset about himself, but he said, but he wasn't the one who called somebody a name. The
Yeah, but he
Kovis
was
called him a
alive.
name. Well, he said that, but that wasn't that was shown son. You're talking about watch your words. Here it wasn't his words, it was the fact that he turned him in. He took the fact that he arrested him effectively. He arrested the guy. So he called that guy, he called himself Zakfu. They killed him. They hung him up. Come to say, Zakifa. So Rabbi Elazar Shimon felt very badly. He says, again, the guy brought it upon himself, but it's still, I had a part in it. I had him arrested. I was the one who caused his death. Come to say, Zakifa. He stood underneath the place where he was hung, under the gallows there, whatever. But Kabachini was crying. Amalei, they told him, Rebbe, Al Yer Benecha, don't feel bad. Let it not be bad. You know why? This guy that you killed is deserving of death anyway. Shehu b'no, him and his son, Balu Namarasa, they slept with a Namarasa, with a betrothed woman, B'yom HaKippurim. Not enough that they slept with a Namarasa with the punishment of death, on Yom Kippur. In other words, these people were deserving of death anyway. He put his hand, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was a very fat man, and a Baal Basar, as we say, a Baal Midos. He put his hands on his big belly. Amr Sisu Banai Bnei Mei Sisu. My innards rejoice, my innards rejoice. Umas Veka Shalachem here. I wasn't even sure if he was deserving of death. I thought he wasn't. I just got angry and I said, arrest him. I'm not even Suffolk. Kach, and it turns out that even my Suffolk, the man was deserving of death anyway. But Shalachem, when you really checked him out and you really find somebody who's really deserving of being turned in, Allah's got Makama, certainly they will be, I'm doing a good job. In other words, Rabbi Elazar Shimon didn't really cause anybody death, that wasn't warranted. It was all warranted. Here too, he didn't even know that it was warranted, but it turned out that it was warranted, so he felt bad. So, I know that you, my innards. In other words, that because I sort of have siyata deshmaya, shein rima v'teilah shaletz, that even my that even like upon death, no, your worms and maggots will rule over you, will be able to consume you. Hochi, even so, lo mayas, he still wasn't sure. Even after all that, he said, oh, that day, like Hashem helped me, that the guy was deserving of death anyway. I know that I must be a tzaddik, and I will not suffer deterioration after death, become physician the way normal people do. But he still felt bad. So what they did is he ordered surgery. Ashkiru Sama Deshinsa, they gave him a potion of sedation, like an anesthesia. By Lula Base, they brought him into a marble house, a place where there wouldn't be winds and bacteria, etc. Like that was the way they did surgery in those days. But Karli Priest, they opened up his belly. But they brought out baskets and baskets of fat that they withdrew. In other words, they did surgery on him that way. Pardon? Liposuction. And they left that fat in baskets of fat they put out in the sun, but Tammuz v'Av, in the summer months of Tammuz and Av, and they didn't decompose. They didn't go, but they didn't decay. says Gemara, kol tavra menami lo sriach. Fat itself does not decay, so that's not a big fish. There's now kol tavra lo sriach, but regular fat does not decay, but suraiki sumki, but the red veins therein do sumki masrich, they do decay. Ocha afagat pika suraiki sumki, even though there were red veins inside mixed in with the fat, lo masrich, they didn't decay at all. Kari nafshei, so he read about that pasuk. Af basari yishkan vech, even my flesh will dwell in safety. In other words, he felt now that he felt now that he was confirmed that he was a good guy and that his mistakes weren't really mistakes, and that he had the body of a tzaddik, and that he wouldn't decompose, and everything was confirmed that he was endorsed, so to speak, in heaven, that it's all okay. Now we're going to continue talking about Elazar of Shimon's stories. And Elazar of Shimon Yossi, Mata Kihai Maisa Liade. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi also had a story like that where the king appointed him to arrest the evildoers, the crooks. Pagabai Elio met him, Amale, Admoset Tamosa, Amoshal Kainu Lariga. And Elio met him and said, "Listen, look what you're doing. Look what you're doing. You're handing over the Jewish people for execution. Amale, Mayav, what should I do? I'm under the Malko." The same thing he said. It's the king's edict. This is the answer that the first officer told Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Then Reb Elazar Reb Shimon's advice was heard about by the king, and the king appointed him. He had no choice. What should I do? It was the edict of him. Amale. And so Leo and Navi told Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi, Avuch Orach Lasya, your father, Reb Yossi, when he had to run away from the government, he ran to Asia. At Aruk Lutkaya, you should also run away to this place. In other words, to avoid the king's edict and what he told you to do. The king commanded you to arrest these people. You should also run away. So now we mentioned Reb Elazar Reb Shimon as he had to do this job, and that he was very fat, and he had this operation, and his fat, you know, did not decay. And Reb Yishmael Reb Yossi also, when he was also a heavy person, very, very fat person, and telling the same story, a similar story about both of them, when they met, when they met face to face, they were so fat that a yoke of two oxen could pass underneath them without touching them. Their stomachs were so fat that they formed like an archway, the two of them, and two animals can go under them without even touching them. Oxen to walk underneath them. It's a strange story. Seven Bucker, they were tall too, because the oxen, could, you know, they were tall and fat. Shiksa officer said to them, your kids aren't yours. You're so fat that you couldn't have mated and have children. Look how fat you are. Amrullah, they said, Amrullah, and the Gemara asked, why did they even bother answering them? Amrullah, Shalahen Gadol Mishalanu. Our wives are even fatter than us. Now, that's one Pshat and Rashi. We'll say that Pshat and Rashi first. Our wives are even bigger than us. So Koshke, so what kind of an answer is that? That's even worse than that. That there couldn't be us. In other words, they were accusing them that your children aren't yours, and your wives or having B.O. with somebody else. Your kids are mamzerim. So he says, no, our wives are even bigger. Some say that they answer. Some say that they answered. Now they said, yeah, even though we're fat and our wives are fat, but a man's power, meaning his virility, is depending on how strong he is. So according to his person, even a fat people can also have B.O. Some say, although they told her, that love suppresses the flesh, compresses the flesh, or suppresses the flesh. That love, you know, they're able to manage. Some say that what they answered, and Rashi brings down another pshat, that when they said our wives are shan garosh melano, not that the wives are fatter than us, but rather that their wives' desire is greater than ours. In other words, the desire is what pushes. What enables the mating to be it to take place. So to that they said, Koshkin, if their taiva is greater than yours, then and you can't mate with them, they must be getting it from someplace else. Not that the wives were fat, but that they had a greater taiva. So they said, no, love suppresses all that. Why would they even answer? Why would these rabbis, some old shiksa says things like that, says some ridicules them and says your kids aren't yours. Why would he even answer? So don't answer a fool in his folly. People shouldn't say that the kids weren't theirs. People might hear the conversation. They didn't answer them. Sometimes you're quiet. You know, so the answer is to tell you that you shouldn't say that their children are really theirs. So talking about this issues of bia goes off like on a tangent. We're still going to come back to Rav Lazar Rav Shimon on tomorrow's on this. This is tomorrow's up. Rabbi Yochanan said, his aver, his organ, his penis, basically, meaning when he was aroused, kechemas bas teisha kavim, like a bottle that holds 9 kav. In other words, he had a very large. This is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. We're talking about Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, probably similar to Rav Lazar Rav Shimon. Also, they had a very large. He had a very large organ. Amar Papa. Rabbi Yochanan is also kechemes bas chemesh, also very large, like a bottle that holds 5 cup. Interesting, the Gemara would tell us these things. Strange thing, right? Why relate this? Maybe it's to tell us that even though they were very heavy or very big or whatever, that you know every person has his own measurements. Some say it's 3 cup. Rapapa his own organ, kitakuri darpanya, like the baskets of harpan of that place, also very large. So he's telling us Salam Shalom Harpanya. Rashi says, right, that the Svasa, very large. Or Rabbi Yochanan. Anos, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan's beauty and his physical attributes. Anos, Shtari Mishapir Yerushalayim. I am left over from the beautiful people, the handsome people of Yerushalayim. In other words, you can't say that he was arrogant in this way. This is, he's just talking about how he wanted to use his beauty for good things. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan, Anos, Shtari Mishapir Yerushalayim. Hi, man, the boy, Mechzei Shpur Yerushalayim. We want to see what the beauty of Yerushalayim was like. Nice, but let him bring a silver cup, the silky, right from the furnace, right from the silversmith, where it came out of the fire. And let him fill it up with red pomegranate seeds. And let him surround it with like a wreath of red roses on the rim of this cup. And put it between the sun and the shade. Ahu, and what are you going to see there? Ahu is the Arure, that glow is Me'ein Shifra Rabbi Yochanan. That glow that you're going to see after all that thing with that red and the fiery red right from the furnace of the silversmith, and it's going to the reflections of the red roses and the red pomegranate seeds, that is somewhat like, it's a reflection of the beauty of Yochanan. Aini, is that really so? Amar Mar Shifra Rav Kana. We have a cloud that the beauty of Rav Kana Me'ein Shifra Rabbi Avu was similar to the reflection of, not even as good, but similar to a semblance of the beauty of Rabu. Shifra Rabu, the beauty of Rabu, main Shifra, the Yaakov Avinu, was somewhat like a semblance of the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. Shifra Yaakov Avinu, main Shifra, the Adam Rishon, was somewhat like a semblance of the beauty of Adam Rishon. Doesn't mention Rabbi Yochanan at all. The answer is Shashan Rabbi Yochanan, the Adam Spanam Lahavim, he didn't have a beard. Belchon apparently didn't have a beard, even after he was at an advanced age. And therefore, without a beard, you don't have a proper beauty. So it wasn't simple beauty like, you know, he had a good shave or a good chin. He had a sort of a physical and a spiritual beauty. Belchon didn't have that. Therefore, he wasn't mentioned with the ones who had a semblance of Adam Arishan, Yaakov Avinu, Rav Avu, and Rav Kana. So he didn't have that. Rabbi Yochanan, he also be Asfi Hasharit, the famous story. Rabbi Yochanan would sit at the mikveh, outside the mikveh of town. Amar ki solka benos Yisrael mitfila, when the benos Yisrael come out of the mikveh, right? Mitfilas mitzvah, when they went for a tfilas mitzvah after they were tamei as a nidor, as a zava, lifkabi, they'll meet me. Gech lahavula lu benish shapir kavasi. They will have children when they see me, and then they're going to mate with their husbands. They will have children as beautiful as me, and Gemira Reisik of us, they'll be able to learn as well as me too. In other words, look at them. Now he wasn't looking at them; he was sitting there and having them look at him. And as he wanted to do it, the Shem Shemayim, that they should have children who are both beautiful physically and be as learned as I. I'm a little rabbanon, Mamasafi Mar Man, and Bishon. You worried about Ayin Hara? They're going to look at you. People look at you. You can get Ayin Hara. I'm a lahu. I know Mizar Yosef Kasina. I know that my ancestry. I come from the children of Yosef. Yosef at Sadik. That the evil eye does not affect them. The Chassid says Ben Paras Yosef. Yosef is a fruitful son. Ben Paras Alayayim, a beautiful son by the well. Don't say by the well. Ela Ole Ayin, above the eye. not by the well, but rather ole ayin, above the eye. The evil eye doesn't affect them. You see, though, there is a concept of evil eye. Okay, I know this. Rambam says you're not worried about it. If it bothers you, it could have an effect. The pasuk says, "Yidgul and they will be as abundant. They will multiply as abundant as fish in the middle of the land as fish. They're compared to fish. The water covers them. And shelters men, and the evil eye does not rule over them. It has no effect on them. Someone says, Yosef, and I show that's the fence. I'm not worried about that. Yumachad, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming or rinsing or washing himself in the Jordan River. Chazir Rishlakesh, who was then a highwayman, some say he was a circus man, but he wasn't a religious person. Chazir Rishlakesh saw him, v'shavu liyarden, and he jumped into the Jordan Abasra afterwards. Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rish Lakish was a strong, physically strong person. Your strength should be for Torah. Your beauty, he answered him, your beauty should be for women, right? That's Rish Lakish, that's the way he spoke. Rish Lakish spoke that way. Oh, you know, you're a handsome guy. Women will like you. If you do tshuva, I will give you my sister in marriage. She's more beautiful than I. Kibbalah. And he was mekabel himself. Okay, I'll do tshuva. You let me marry your sister. Boy, lemeheder, when he wanted to go at la suya mona, when Rish Lakish wanted to leave the Jordan River, wanted to swim out to get his clothing, lamatzi hader, he wasn't able to. Why? Because the all of the Torah, the yoke of Torah, weakened him. Just accepting upon himself the all of Torah weakened him. Hader akre, afterwards he learned Torah, asni, he learned Mishnah, Bishavi Gavrav, and he became a great man. Became a great man, and then we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up the story about how Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan learned together. But one day they had an argument, and this led to eventually to Rish Lakish's death, which led to Rabbi Yochanan's death. And the story goes on and on. And we're still going to come back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. This whole thing started with what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, because we had the pasuk about what the evil people do, they hang out at night, etc. We got to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We're going to come back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon tomorrow. We'll pick it up from here in the, where are we? In the second of the wide lines, right? In the second of the wide lines on Pei Daled. Have a good day, everybody. Kol Tov.